to the Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here at NTT Upgrade 2025 with Fang Wu and Takashi Goto. And we're going to talk about attribute-based encryption and what NTT has been doing over the last few years. Gentlemen, hello.
Hey, I am Taku Goto. I'm SVP of NTT Research. I am in charge of the commercialization of NTT research technology into the market. For that reason, sometimes we hold events like hackathon to raise awareness of our NTT research technologies. The research technology itself is very great in the academic field, but that doesn't mean it's also great in the market. My mission, actually, Huang and I are trying to create a market value for research technology and create an application or solutions for users. So that's my mission.
Hi, I'm Fang Wu. I'm part of the team that Tak just talked about. I think he pretty much covers it. I think my main role is really trying to bridge the research and the business side.
You've had attribute-based encryption for quite a while now, but it hasn't really come to market as a product. It's not something I can buy from you off the shelf. But it offers a solution to a problem we've had ever since we wanted to do collaborative documents. And that is, how do I lock one section down, encrypt it so people can't see it, and then just give them access to what they need? What's been the inhibitor to bringing it to market and finding a product line for it?
You mentioned about the spill-proof document. So we using ABE, so we can encrypt each paragraph with different access policy. And based on the recipient's attributes, so we can see that the user can see the different part of the document. So this is a great tool. But still, we have some challenges. We can protect part of the data with ABE, but the challenge is how to identify which part should be shown to whom. So this kind of identification was a challenge. I think that's the reason why currently you cannot get such products for now.
When I look at it, one of the things I don't see is how I easily give access. For example, if I was doing a document, I'd want to pick individual users. How would you develop this? Would you embed it within a word processing solution or a document management solution? And how would you expect people to start to hand those attributes out? Would I have a list of users? Would I do it by group of users, everybody in the accounts department or in any particular working group? How would you see that working?
I think different use case might actually have a different way of doing that. I don't know whether or not you saw the demo in the booth. One of our team actually doing the spill-proof. They embed the ABE technology into the Microsoft Office suite. What they do is, based on the classification of the confidential of the document, with that, you could put together a global policy. A company, government agency might have a certain policy that this particular individual is supposed to be able to see certain classification of the part of that document. That could be one way to doing it. The other way that I just heard one of the potential prospects is that they want to have an automated way to have some sort of machine to intercept the document and actually automatically recognize this part is actually belong to what and automatically putting the policy into it. There's a different way to do this kind of use cases. ABE is very powerful and very flexible. The thing that we need to do is add on the application to utilize those capabilities.
One thing I want to mention is that ABE uses a logical expression as a policy, so we can create an access policy like NTT and US and technology promotions. So we can use the attributes of the identity manager server, like Active Directory or Okta. So we can inherit such users' attributes like department or role and use such attributes as an ABE policy. It's very easy to integrate such IDP to the ABE solutions.
I was looking at the ultra-high definition AI inference chip you've got here. And yesterday, Gomi-san was talking on stage about how that can be used to identify a face in an image, obscure the face, so that that can only be unlocked by somebody with the right key, and you were looking to use ABE for that. Do you have any idea when that will come to market? Because from a law enforcement and a surveillance perspective, that's a really powerful opportunity.
Sure, we believe so. For the surveillance camera, we can detect the people's face, license plate, or vehicle. We can detect any sensitive information the user wants. After that, we can encrypt such sensitive information with a label, vehicle or license plate. After that, we can control who can see the exact part in the image. This is a great benefit of ABE. So we can create only one video, but utilized, reused with different ways.
I had a chance to talk to the SPIP team earlier today and look at how they were beginning to create policies. I was quite surprised at the interface. It looks like it's very early in the stage for doing that. How do you see that develop? Do you think companies will put that alongside their Active Directory? Will companies want that integrated with their current role-based or attribute-based security systems?
Tag just mentioned, from an attribute perspective, you could actually getting the information from the identity management system. From a policy perspective, you probably saw the demo. That's our attempt to provide a UI for somebody that does not have that much technical knowledge to create policy. The next step the team is working on is see what will be the best way to utilize natural language to really use that as an interface. ABE is very powerful too. Because this is so powerful, the policy can be very complex. And for an average person who does not have a technical knowledge, sometimes it's very difficult to really create those policy. If we could utilize a natural language, have a dialogue with the system to let him express in his own way, then we could confirm with him this is exactly what he wants to do, and that would be able to achieve that kind of goal. On the other hand, for somebody that have a very deep knowledge from a technical point of view, they don't need to use those UI. They could put the mathematical formula and just directly input into the system.
How do you prevent overclassification? If we think about a military environment, everything gets classified. Whether it needs to be classified or not, it's just an automatic reaction. When we've done document classification systems in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, the big fail point is people overclassify. If we're going to be able to say to the user, here's a document, and let's take a simple document, just 10 paragraphs, you're going to be able to say who can edit and work with any one paragraph, there becomes quite a risk of it either being seen as a lot of work, at which point people don't properly apply security, or people go completely mad and they start writing really complicated policies that are overly onerous on the system for each individual paragraph. How do we find a balance in teaching people how to do this effectively, securely, but also in a way that doesn't impact the way they work?
That's a good question. We need to find some balance between granularity and manageability. I believe the AI can support to find such balance. But yes, as you mentioned, maybe we sometimes the AI overlooks something or overclassifies the data. So the human still needs to confirm that it is okay or not. The ultimate goal is autonomous system for the identification. What we should aim for should be the semi-automatic process. First, AI will identify, and later the human needs to review if needed. We can get some efficiency from this process.
That use of AI we see already. We've got a lot of companies out there who've built AI systems that identify PII, and they redact that in documents. So there doesn't really seem to be a need to produce another AI. Are you working with some of these companies on the grounds that you can now not only help them encrypt to a much higher level, but also you can then use their technology because they've already started that whole process of how to identify PII and other pieces of data?
I don't know whether or not you got a chance to see the voice mining.
I saw a little bit of that.
They utilize combination of an off-shelf system as well as our Hong Kong AI system. What they found is that they need to have a two-layer to ensure that whatever we pick up, that be able to have the accuracy and all those kind of things. The generic off-shelf software sometimes cannot fully meet our needs. What they did is that they trained our own system to complement those systems as well. we certainly working with those kind of off-shelf system as well as develop our own.
While we're on the subject of AI, one of the things that's starting to become a problem is the idea of agentic AI. It's going to be running around our data. Nobody really knows how it's going to pick up security or controls or be managed. And it creates quite a risk of the agents becoming malware rather than becoming something productive in a business. Is there a way, particularly with the SPIP policy engine, that you can start to use that, an ABE, to protect data from agentic AI?
The key thing is the identity management system. We need to assign identity to those AI agents. Just treat it as a human. In fact, the modern identity management, they not only looking at human as an identity, they assign identity to machine as well. Once you assign identity into this AI agent, we can put the policy into the data and figure out what would be the best way to provide a proper access control to those AI agents.
But the problem we have, if we look at an Active Directory today, humans are 5% or less of the number of accounts in there. 95% is a nightmare for us because it's machines, it's software, it's IoT. And agents threaten to just become part of that bigger problem. How do we make them less of a problem?
That's the issue that we need to resolve beyond ABE. If the identity management system is not a true representation of what you have for the organization, all the security is off the book. Many things is based on the identity management system to provide policing, provide access control, and many, many things. This is the opportunity for the entity data team to help that organization to fix that issue.
I heard also some startup company try to solve such issues. The human can not control so quite complex policies, but AI can figure out, they say this part is redundant, this part is not right, so AI identifies a problem in the access other policy in the IDP. So maybe we can collaborate with such startup companies.
My nightmare scenario is an AI managing my security, and then managing the security for other AI systems where there's no human in the loop, no human oversight. Given the complexity of our environments and policies, we're really going to have to start relying on AI, aren't we, to solve our security issue?
This is not directly answer to your question, but we can use AI for coding. Let's say I can ask GenAI to create some code for me, that code may work or may not work. So I think, so let's say 70% was done, but I need to complete them by myself. This is example for coding, but I think this is also applied to the security issue. AI can maybe create an access policy, AI can check the identity management, but still the human needs to review. It's still very efficient. So AI can support, and AI also nudge to people do some things.
Is there a potential for using ABE inside Active Directory to control things? At the moment, if you're an administrator in Active Directory, you see everything. You can touch everything. We don't have different types of administrators. It seems to me the way that ABE encrypts and hides or protects things is that it gives us the ability to break that administrator role down and say, you might be an administrator, but you can only deal with this part of the Active Directory or with these type of accounts or this type of access. And the rest of it would be invisible or at least encrypted. Could we start to look at that level of embedding of ABE into that type of system? Or is that a step too far at the moment?
We certainly can look into that. Providing the proper access control is the property of ABE. I think what you're saying is that if we could actually have that type of a feature embedded into identity management system, that would be value. There's no reason why we cannot do that at all.
Most of our management systems, identity systems in organizations, are role-based today. We've talked about attribute-based security for a long time. It seems that there's a real opportunity here for a company that wants to take on ABE to then move away from an RBAC system to an ABAC system. Do you see that as something that you would be looking to talk to your clients about?
Good example why they may shift from the RBAC to ABAC is that we can use geolocation as attributes. Let's say in the RBAC system, so we can define the role, but the attribute or situation we cannot define in the rollback basis. But in attribute-based access control, we can use the geolocation and say, well, you can decrypt this file only in US. We can create such policy. I think this is a great differentiator from RBAC.
Everybody's very fond at the moment of running around saying that we have quantum safe systems. How does ABE move a company into a better quantum safe environment?
So the ABE is generically belong to the public key type of encryption. We do need to move to a post-quantum cryptographic type of algorithm. The team is actually working on the code. We already have a copy of the post-quantum code that is quantum safe. It's just a matter of twist that copy of the code to improve the performance. Our strategy is that we will replace the current code with the PQC code in the library in the way that is transparent to the application. So we can swap it and then allow the application to have the same function call and everything to do the migration in a seamless way. That's our strategy. The NSA has a schedule of doing the migration. If I remember correctly, 2030 is the deadline. The reason they have such a long duration is because the legacy system needed to do many of the preparation work. They do the inventory, identify which one got impacted, and then identify whether or not they need to swap the software or hardware and all those things. From an ABE perspective, we are in a greenfield deployment. We know which one that we need to swap about. So we don't have that issue. We feel we're comfortable to meet the NSA schedule from that point of view.
I want to add one thing. We have already implemented PQC version of ABE into our library, but unfortunately, it's not efficient. Now our researchers is working on the more efficient PQC ABE. So we think we can launch such PQC versions in the near future.
Do you see yourself moving to something like fully homomorphic encryption?
Different use case. ABE is more the access control. The full homomorphic encryption is just the data being processed. In the case of you outsource the data into third party, into public cloud, you don't trust them, you use full homomorphic encryption. In our case is that we want to enhance the access control policy. So these two things have two different use cases.
What about allowing people to bring their own encryption? One of the things we've seen in quantum key encryption over the last 5 years is an increasing move to allow people to bring their own keys, their own encryption algorithms. Is that something you would be looking to support?
The team is working on a new feature that allows you to generate your own key for the ABE. In fact, we are going to have that feature in a very near future that we'd be able to roll it out and support that feature functionality.
Fankru Takashi Gota, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much for spending time with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.